Good afternoon. It's Tuesday, March 8th.
Isn't he Dominic Austin, by the way?
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our meeting today, that you'd be here with us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So did anybody come up with a consensus of truth on forgiving yourself?
Well, I thought about it some after.
Yeah, I did too.
After Sunday. And I realized, you know, there are people plagued with a very black past or things that have happened or whatever, you know, and they just plain can't get past that. You know, we talk about shame. Well, shame isn't necessarily sinful, but it's, you know, it's a terrible thing to be plagued with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the answer is exactly forgiving yourself, although you've done, but it's up, it does, they need to get past it, that stuff.
Well, we know you can't forgive yourself of sin.
No.
Right. No. But we can forgive ourselves the hurts that we have put on other people. You know, forgive man to man forgiveness.
Well, I think that's probably going to the Lord. And, yeah.
I read that in Matthew, that it says, forgive them for their trespasses.
Yeah. And it says the Father will forgive us like we forgive others.
Because those who trespass against you, for that, that's you will be forgiven.
It is interesting. The Gospels say we are to forgive the sins of others against us. So, in one sense, we're forgiving sins.
Yeah.
The problem is you can be charitable towards others. You just can't be self-charitable. So,
yeah, I think there's enough scriptures that say you can forgive sins, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way Jesus did it, he, you know, it was like, well, your sins are forgiven. And then they said, well, blasphemy. He says, well, is it any different than, okay, stand up and walk, take your lane?
Right.
You know, I mean, if you have anointing, there's a lot you can do.
There is that scripture there, John 20, where he says, you forgive, the sin won't be on them, and if you don't forgive, the sin will remain on them. You know? And
you know,
talking to the apostles, and I don't know if that's confined to...
And I'm thinking, yeah, they're probably, I guess where I wasn't completely... After I thought about it some more, sold on the fact that you couldn't, because I'm thinking, no, it may not say somewhere directly, but there may be a situation some in the scriptures where it's talking of forgiveness, and all of a sudden there's something like that right in there, but I don't think there is. So that's the only thing I was kind of reading to see if, you know, if there was ever a situation where it's explaining things, and that would fall under it, you know. But
yeah.
I don't think there is. I only got through Matthew. I think about, you know, there's not a lot about forgiveness of sins, except in the Gospels, I think.
I think that's right.
You know, I mean, I know I've been listening to Ephesians, Galatians, and all that, and Corinthians, I think, and there's, you know, that's not the theme of all of those books. It's other things, you know. It'll say something about eternal life and stuff, but
John 20:23 says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. So I don't know if that necessarily has to be sins committed against that individual. I don't know. But That's quite a power if it doesn't.
See, if you know you had sin, Well, then, and if you're going to be a believer, you know you have to go to God to get forgiven. You know. But then if you can't let it go, well, that's just you not having faith to believe they are forgiven. You know.
Or you say it, but in your heart you don't mean it.
Yeah.
You're just saying it, but you don't really mean it from the heart.
You know, there are people who have had terrible things that have happened to them. You know, that they've been involved in. People did to them, what they did, the kind of life they lived, whatever. And I think if you are just plain obsessed with that, now you got to go to the Lord for that. But it's I can call it forgive yourself. I don't think that's the perfect term for it. But
I was thinking, well, I know I did a lot of bad things that hurt other people. But how did I get through that? Well, I had to go to God and ask Him to forgive me for what I'd done to them, you know. And if possible, you can go ask to be forgiven by those people too if the situation is right, you know.
Right. But there's a lot of times too, I pray God forgive me for who I've hurt, people I've hurt that I didn't know I hurt, and I don't know where they are to acknowledge them.
Right.
You know. Because
you know what, he can lift that if that was still a hurt in somebody, he could somehow deal with that.
Right. What I'm saying is
once you repent,
I mean, it just because it's like, let's say that hurt Charlie and he's right here, but so 5 years from now I don't see Charlie around anymore to apologize for something that I didn't remember at the time, but I'm looking for it from now, you know. So I said, you know. So I ask the Lord to forgive, you know, through the Lord, you know.
Yeah.
Demonstrating a contrite heart is always a good thing, right? I mean, because we don't know. We may have hurt someone. I agree with Charlie in the sense that if you have something that's in your past, and you just can't let it go because you just feel like it's too big of a thing to just let go, which in itself is deception. But if you're being plagued or the enemy has got you under condemnation, I think the phrase, I have to forgive myself to release the condemnation so God can, you know, and if that's the way you work it through and, you know, mentally, I don't have to have a problem with that. But you can't say, you know, I have to forgive myself, and that's gonna alleviate my sin.
Do the job. Huh?
Yeah, I think that's why Sunday I was listening. I'm going, you know, it's such a slippery slope. I would have felt that maybe would have got saved 20 minutes of our lives. Pablo had said, you cannot forgive yourself of your sin. And if he would have said, of your sin, to what he said, that discussion, I think, would have gone a different way. But what happened, because the Holy Spirit allowed it to happen, that we had a pretty in-depth discussion about forgiveness. I mean, I went into the Scriptures because of that, and I was surprised to think about it that, you know, I'm commanded to forgive other people's sin. I didn't look at it that way. I mean, I knew about turning the other cheek and give someone who's cold my coat and da-da-da-da-da and all the things basically saying, no matter what someone does against me, my response to that is like, no problem. Good on you. Here you go. Here's my food. Here's my money. Here's my clothes. If you need it, that's great, and I'm okay, and that's what God wants from me. But the Scripture is kind of, in Matthew and in Mark, talks, if someone sins, you know, someone sins against you, you're to forgive them for their sins against you. Now, I don't think it lets them off the hook with God, but it's you being obedient to God saying, do not have aught against your brother or sister, which I think is hard enough.
Okay, so... So then, actually, the thing is, if you did something and you can't let it go, you have to determine whether it was sin or not.
True.
Because if it's not sin, then forgiveness isn't involved. It's just a matter of you accepting or letting it go or whatever. See, that's why I don't think you would say you need to forgive yourself. Because, and if it's sin, well, then you know who you have to give it to. It's God. You know, so I think that's, maybe that's where the little deception or the fuzziness is, you know, if you did some bad things and stuff, but it wasn't sin, well, then it's not requiring forgiveness. It's requiring you to just somehow let it go, you know. Now, in people's mind, like you just said, if in their mind, them saying, I forget, if that does it, well, then I don't, then who knows.
Yeah, but you mentioned it's mostly in the Gospels, but Ephesians, you know, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always brought back to forgive your brother or sister for their sins, so God could forgive you for your sins. And it also ends up kind of like
my left foot.
So.
I'm going to have Brittany read that too. That's pretty good.
But to your question, we talked about it a little bit on Sunday night. And four of us, when I wasn't here, and drilled on it a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of, at least that's where I've sort of settled on it. And with the expectation that more revelation may come. Like
it's probably true. It does not say it anywhere in the Word.
Well, I couldn't find anywhere where it says you can forgive yourself.
Right.
So I mean, from that standpoint, I think that's a true statement. I think what was going on in the Marta Karina clan was they were looking at hurts or things that they had done in the past, that they felt they had to say, you know, I did this and this was a bad thing and I need to get past this. And the phrase is, I have to forgive myself for this bad thing. And you know, and I struggle with what's a bad thing that's not sin. You know, well, I was rude to someone. Maybe that doesn't rise to the level of sin, but if it's bothering you to the point that it's letting the enemy come up, well, you're rude to a lot of people. You know, you've got a problem. And now you get condemned over that. Well, then, you know, maybe that's what it is. But generally, you know, I was actually spent a little time like, so what's something that should really bring me into condemnation that's not a sin? And then I kind of struggled with that. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, nothing came to my mind. I mean, oh, you were rude to that person, or you cut this person off in the line to the bank.
I just think somewhere, way back when, somebody said that, and then it just kept being used. You know?
Well, yeah, exactly. Did we cut you off, Charlie?
No.
I tend to do that.
Well, I did want to. There was one thing that occurred to me, and you know that how many times do we have to forgive? The disciples asked Jesus, and they asked, 7 times. And he says 70 times 7. But it turns out that if someone ask you to forgive them, you've got to do that 490 times, whatever, you know. That's an awful lot of asking for forgiveness, you know. The problem comes up when they don't ask you to forgive them. You forgive them. You know, Jesus is silent on that point. You just, and, but that's, you know, when they hardly realize or act like they don't realize that they have done something that calls for forgiveness. have the right or whatever. You know, that's the ugly thing. And Jesus is silent on that. But someone comes 490 times in a day asking for forgiveness. It's a little hard to squeeze in 490 sins.
I don't know, man.
It won't take me long. To be honest with you, it don't take me long to get there.
Well,
being human.
But then to ask, oh, forgive me.
Yeah.
490 times.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Jesus spoke to the situation of when someone doesn't ask you to forgive them. It doesn't do it. Now, that's not to say.
Well, if they don't ask you to forgive them, then there's nothing there.
Well, I was.
You can, in your own mind, forgive someone, even though they haven't asked you for them.
Yeah.
Well, you can, but you're saying they're asking someone else to forgive them. Well, if they don't ask, then there's no situation.
So I guess according to what Jesus had to say there, that's right.
Yeah.
So I didn't remember exactly what you said, so I went back to read it because it's Matthew 18:22, which says. Start at 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And why I went and looked at it, Peter was saying, someone sinned against him, and how often does he have to forgive them? Not that the brother comes to him and says, please forgive me for the sin I've committed, because he might not recognize it or even acknowledge it, but you feel that you've been sinned against. And so, I don't know that you bad phraseology here, you're not off the hook to forgive your brother if he doesn't ask you to forgive him. If he sins, if you've been sinned against, you are
Not according to that Matthew 18, I guess. There's nothing about requesting. I think maybe in one of the other Gospels.
That's what I just said, 7 times 70. Okay. I didn't look them all up, I should say.
But if that's there in Matthew, then whatever I have to say, you know, that doesn't particularly hold.
Well, the only thing I was trying to get at was, the person needs to come to you and say, please forgive me, versus God saying, doesn't matter, if they sinned against you, you forgive them. Mm-hmm. You don't wait.
Wait until they...
You know, I just saw something there. What's interesting about that is, what I said really didn't fit that. It's when you recognize somebody sinned against you, they may not even know that they did. So then they wouldn't be asking for your forgiveness for what they did. So it's you knowing and being, I guess, charitable and not wanting to put it on them, just forgive them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
Okay. It's how you perceive what they're saying.
Yeah, or doing or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of being hurt by it, just forgive them. Mm-hmm. And don't make a big deal about it, you know. I think that's what Jesus is probably saying is, yeah, don't go and say, hey, you're sinning against me. You better repent. You know?
I think all of this is kind of about a personal responsibility. And no matter if you're the person that got sinned against or the person that did the sinning, you have to do your own thing. You're not responsible for the other person's. You don't need to go say, hey, you sinned against me. You need to take care of your end. God tells us that we're supposed to forgive people, not that we're supposed to find them, tell them what they did wrong, that they should forgive us, and then we can forgive them. That's not what it says. You know? But if we did the sinning, we got to ask for forgiveness, and they could either say yes or no, but we did our right thing by the Lord.
I found a scripture, Luke 17:3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn against thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. It doesn't say the 70, but what I found interesting in that was, yeah, someone came and come and sinned against you, you rebuke him. You're to call him out. Right. And Luke, I'm going, oh, puts a little different slant on it.
Yeah, it does.
So I thought we should, you know, on one hand, I was really, you know, I am sure I have hurt people and therefore have sinned and oblivious to it. Just didn't realize what I said or what I said was as hurtful as it was. And had I known, I would be hurt. I'd be devastated that I would have hurt a brother or sister. So I would want someone to say, you didn't mean that way, did you? Did you mean to hurt so-and-so by that comment? And then reflect right away and go, no, I didn't. I repent or I am sorry of that.
And that's what I said, it's how they perceive it. And
Well, but I was kind of going along with Charlie when I looked up the other scripture and going, well, no, you don't wait for them to say they're sorry. You just forgive them and move on. And Luke goes, hey, if you know they sinned against you, you call them out. You rebuke them. That's a little bit more
active. I've either had somebody, I think, or I went to somebody and said, you know, this has really been bothering me. I don't think you realize that you hurt me.
Yeah.
You know, now that, you know, that that could be a weakness in me, but whatever. And if you can and if a brother's in a good place, they'll go, oh man, I'm sorry, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so would I. If someone came and said, hey, you know, when you said this or did this, that kind of hurt. Oh, I wasn't even aware. I'm sorry, you know. And
often
then,
you get justification instead of that, but anyway.
Yeah. But I think that's a good way to heal.
I agree.
That's the process of getting a hurt healed.
That
you know,
is. Yes.
Is acknowledging it and hopefully,
hopefully
the person goes, oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. They may go, oh, I didn't say that. Your fault.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
You snowflake.
Yeah. Oh, to put it in common terminology. And the day that I can, you snowflake, get over yourself. Yeah, well, as you were saying that, I didn't know that they we wait on them. So then I tried to find, you know, and you said, well, maybe somewhere else. So then I started looking for parallel scriptures, and that was.
Well, I was under the wrong impression that 70 times 7 thing was when.
Yeah.
No, you only have to do it if they ask you to forgive. I was wrong about that. So.
Well, and I would say that just falls under the common bucket. No, no, no. You don't get off the hook if someone else doesn't do something. You're responsible. It's like, wait a minute. What's my accountability here? You're accountable for all of it, you know.
Sorry, here. Still, I used this one thing.
I think you just click a button on the side
somebody
there.
Doubt that I.
Somebody calling you?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh. Sorry. My old clinic.
Properly guy. But anyhow, I just. To go back to forgiveness, I mean, I really appreciate. Pablo was having that problem and brought it out the way he did because it's forced me to dig, and I think that's a good thing. I don't know that I've uncovered the total answer, but I'm surrounding it a little bit better.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's a good one to keep in the back of the mind as you're reading, and so if you come across something that'll, you know, put more substance to it or not, you know, one or the other.
Well, and it's the really big thing, right? Because it's like, all right, you know, if the goal, if your spiritual, your Christian walk goal is to have eternal life, one way to really help your chances in that is to be repenting of all your sins. And if you haven't done that because you don't recognize when you have sinned, or you haven't turned the cheek enough, or you think you've repented, but because you said, yeah, I'm okay, I'm over that now, but you didn't go to God about it. These are all ways that the enemy can trip you up as to, you know, I really didn't meet the requirement here, you know. And so, and from that aspect, it, you know, is this salvational? It could be.
See, I was just thinking, you know, trying to figure out. If all you'd ever had was the Word of God, and you never heard anyone say, you need to forgive yourself, you wouldn't have that concept in your head. How would you deal with it? That's kind of where I'm thinking. That's where I want to know the answer. And if you sin, you just got to come to the place where you go before God and finally repent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, like Barb, I mean, yes, I know that condemnation comes in big time when someone tries to commit suicide. But basically it is a sin because you're trying to take a life, you know? Whether it be yours or somebody else's, that's a sin. So that can be forgiven, and you go before God. But then, the devil puts condemnation on.
Well, you know, the devil's a liar.
Yeah.
And that shame, all of those are demons.
Right.
All of those are demons. And I'm not sure if saying, like, thinking that you need to forgive yourself is a bad thing or a good thing. Maybe it's a backhanded way of rebuking that demon. You know?
That's what I take out of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're being pinned down because of a bad choice that you made,
mm-hmm.
and the enemy's got you feeling condemned,
right? Even after you repented wholeheartedly,
yeah, you're in deception, and you want to be rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. I think that's where that became kind of a popular, you know, expression.
It reminds me too much of Adam and Eve making a covering for themselves out of leaves or whatever. It just won't get the job done. You need to go to God and have God do what God does.
Yeah. Well, you can't just forgive yourself and not have God's forgiveness, because that's it's like wiping with no toilet paper. You know?
Yeah.
Come
on. Well, I mean, yes. If you're versed enough in the scripture, you'd know that you rebuke the demons, you know.
Yeah.
But
still, that's involving.
Sometimes that takes a while to give you the strength to do that, you know.
Yes.
Or to have the faith to do that, I guess. And have it.
Now, the Lord shines light on things, and you need to own up.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're forgiving yourself in the process, but I think you know, when He shines His light, then it gives you an opportunity to seek His forgiveness. Seek the Lord's forgiveness.
Yeah. I mean, that is the whole thing. If it's something that's a sin, you got to go to God for His forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn, I really didn't think you had a good opportunity on Sunday morning, though, to kind of spell out where you were having some difficulty with what Pablo was saying. Now, I don't know if it's been dealt with enough, but I... You know.
Oh, yeah. See, I guess I was having a hard time accepting what he was saying. My wife confessed later that she was too.
Yeah.
She was having... She said she felt it right in her chest really bad. She told me that the other day. And I had to go... I had to walk out, because it was getting to me, and I needed to get out, clear my head, and get my thoughts straight, you know, away from the conversation, okay? And I did that. And then I came back, you know. But, yeah, I needed to get the fog out of my head, so to speak, you know. So it was being stuck in there that I had to, you know. And I don't know how many other people had that same feeling that I was going through. I didn't know Barb was doing having it at the same time either, you know. So it there was something that affected both of us, Barb and I. Okay. And I couldn't follow what he was saying for one thing, and it just didn't make what he was saying didn't set right. Like it wasn't to me, it was not right what he was saying, or how he was presenting it, or how I was hearing it, maybe even, you know.
Yeah.
But are you still have?
I had a long conversation with Corky the other day.
That kind of.
Sometimes that's not a positive, but maybe this time it was.
Sometimes.
Once in a great while.
No, I'm all good.
I think I shared Sunday night. You sort of alluded to it a little bit on Sunday. I mean, I heard what Bob said, and I was listening, and when I first heard it, I wasn't 100% on board because I wasn't quite sure what he was trying to say. But we kind of went around it a couple times, and then once we got him to say, and he did, he was never not trying not to say it. He just didn't say it initially, which is only God can take away your sin. And once that happened, then I said, I totally get what he's saying, you know. But before we first started out, I was like, I was just trying to make sure I was hearing correctly, because, you know, if someone's sharing, you know, and it doesn't quite line up, you just want to listen really carefully and make sure you're hearing it right. And it just took me a couple of minutes before I heard him, when I got to where I thought he's standing on solid scripture, but the first few minutes I wasn't there yet. But he got there, and you know, the good thing is not to, you know, jump and down after about 30 seconds, go, what are you talking about? Sit down. You know, I hope people will give me a little more grace when I go off the rail. You know, so, but it was good. Like I said, the upshot of this is how much time I've spent thinking on this, and I feel I have a little bit more clarity.
Right. And I'll speak a little bit for Barbara. She can bring it Sunday if she wants. But that night she was couldn't sleep, so it was at 3 o'clock in the morning. She was up there looking through the Bible on this subject, and she found some scriptures that were helping her, and she wrote them all down. You know, excuse me. you know, so that kind of helped her because she was, you know. But I'll have to let her explain it better than I can at this point. But there was some stuff I wanted to bring on Sunday, but I did not bring it because it didn't fit in with what was going on, you know. And so I thought, well, I'll bring my stuff today and see how it goes. Now, and Keith, you talk about this a lot. You're sleeping in bed, and all of a sudden, you wake up, and God's putting something on your mind. And it's not you, because you're waking up, and you're wide awake, and you're hearing these thoughts, you know. And I have two different things here, but I'll just give a brief one on the one I was going to bring on Sunday. I was watching the news on TV. This is going back now last week. And you're getting frustrated, and then you're grumbling and rumbling. But anyway, and so I said to him, I heard the voice, be patient, wait a little while longer. And I thought, be patient, and wait a little while longer. Yeah. So I turned the TV off, and I kept thinking, be patient, and wait a little while longer. And on Sunday morning, I kind of tune in on this church service that comes out of La Crosse, and you know, since he's from the Bible, you know, he doesn't go off on a tantrum, and he was talking about 1 Peter. Okay, so I open up the Bible, I follow along, and then I started looking over here, and there's James. Wait a minute here. And here's what I found. James 7, verse, chapter 5, verse 7.
Absolutely. I was just going to ask you a minute ago if
you
wanted to
bottle
water.
The mouth just went completely gone.
Yeah. Does anybody else want a bottle of water or anything?
No, I got one.
But in verse 7, it says, therefore be patient, brother, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for his precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establishing your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand.
Thank you.
Verse 9, do not grumble against one another. Brethren, lest you be condemned, behold, the judge is standing at the door. So, and then I kept reading down and down, and then I read the whole chapter all the way through verse 13. But, it's indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, lest you all fall into judgment. Then Sunday it came up, being either hot or cold, for the Lord. If you're lukewarm, I will spew you out. Okay, that's tied in with that verse there. And I'm thinking, and that's some of the stuff that came to me this morning. There's two things I went through this morning. And one I wrote down, which I'll bring in, the other one I'm just going to give a brief summary of because I'm not sure. But, let your yes be yes, your no be no, or, be hot for the Lord or be cold for the Lord. But if you're neutral, or I lost the word.
Lukewarm.
And then I was thinking on that, and the revelation came to me. Okay, let's put it in simple words. You're in your car. You put your car in drive. You step on the gas. You go forward. You put your car in reverse. You step on the gas. You go forward. But if you're neutral, you step on the gas, you're going nowhere. And that's the point that came up. You're either going to go forward, or you're going to go backwards, or you're going to just spin your wheels and go nowhere. And that was there was more to it, but I can't remember it all, but those are the reasons. Now, the second thing that came after this, and I got it right here, because this one I wrote down. Remember I told you a while back that I was giving a title to some form called Up the Down Escalator. I don't know if you remember that or not. And I've been sitting on that, because I have not received anything on it until this morning. Now, like I say, I woke up at 4 o'clock wide awake, and all this stuff was right there. No thinking on my part. But I'm going to read it. I find myself on a down escalator trying to get to the top. I am moving, but not making any progress. With each step, as I continue to try, I find myself getting weaker and weaker and losing what progress I am making, which isn't much, but some. I lift my head and I look up to the top of the escalator and I see Jesus standing there waiting for me to make it up the down escalator. As I am looking up at Jesus, I feel my strength come back, my determination, my faith return, and I begin to make up the progress that I lost and also gain some. Every time I start to fall back on what I have gained, I raise my head and I look up to see Jesus standing at the top waiting for me to make it up to him. My spirit rises up and gives me the renewed strength to keep going. Every day as we struggle to climb to the top, the devil keeps pulling us back to keep us from reaching the top to be with our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord, because only through him comes your salvation.
Yeah. That's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I gave all the copies of the stuff that I wrote to Kurt, because I don't think he's ever heard anyone. Mm-hmm. So I made copies for him, and this one will go with it.
Thanks, Glenn.
And there you go. One of those copies you got is the second. I had it for you, Charlie. I had it. If you will give me those, Corky, yep. Or
Kurt.
I know who they are. I've got one here.
Thank you.
I was going through all, I write stuff down in different books, and I went through all my books trying to find where everything is. And one that Charlie, you made comment on the other day, the grocery beggar. Okay, well, in one of my little books, I found the grocery beggar part 2. And I'll read that one to you. It became clear to me on this night that the separation of my wants and my needs of groceries items that I have selected were. Also, what was being represented when he separated my wants from my needed ones. The wanted items represented my sins. The needed items represented what God wanted me to have and keep for good. Each wanted item set aside equals a sin that was taken away, forgiven forever. God knows our hearts better than we know our own hearts. God sees beyond what we see. We can only see the now and the past. God sees all, the past, the now, and the future.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he knows we don't. What are
our struggles just missing that piece? Mm-hmm. A lot of our struggles are from us not knowing the future, you know?
Just trying to be God, deciding what we need, you know?
Yeah.
I tell you what, it's too much for you, Lord, and I'll take the steering wheel now. It's really what we do.
Right.
No, please. You've got a lot going on. I'll just handle myself.
I got to go pick up the girls from school, boys.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I wondered about
Glenn,
that.
Glenn, you want to just leave those on the table here?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I know.
Looks like you're
looking
really good.
Getting better.
Yeah?
Our partner this morning, she stretched me out real good. It was nice.
Oh, okay. Well, I might have to leave here in about 15 minutes.
Well, is there something you want to bring?
No, I'm just saying if I happen to get up, that's why, because I still got to go back to work.
Well, I'm glad you told us so we won't just take your storm off.
Yeah, right. Don't
I didn't like what they were saying.
Sorry, I'm tired of this. I'm out of here.
I didn't get forgive myself.
I'm going to forgive myself, but I'm gone. Well, but I mean, if there was something, I wanted to make sure. We did talk briefly.
You know, I heard something again today, and it just amazes me. It's totally a different subject, one that we've been on a lot. But just the fact that there's a spot where was I listening now? I don't know. But so one, it goes something, God is one. And that's it. And I thought, so how do you get around that? I just, you know, how can you just throw that out and say, no, there's three? And you're a man, you know? It's just, and then, you know, there's the ones where Jesus says, I'm going to my God and to your God.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So just that's all. It's just those, I keep hearing them and it just keeps popping in there, and it's such good reaffirming, you know, but I don't want to change the whole subject from something.
But I think that kind of, in a way, it lines up with where we're at in the natural right now. I mean, that the, we're so polarized in our views of the world, and like in our religious approach, we just want to be on the right team. We want to be on the winning team. So if the recipe on the winning team says God is God and he's a spirit and Jesus is a man, and God and Jesus are not the same, you find scriptures and you say, aha. But if your team says Jesus is just is a God, is a part of God, and then you find scriptures and you try and shoehorn what you hear to line like that, line up with it. Kind of like, and I'm not trying to be antagonistic, but there will be people who will say, our former president was just a buffoon, and they'll look for every possible excuse to do that. And they'll say, our current president is a buffoon, and they look for every opportunity to make their point. And I spent a lot of time going, you know, I'm just going to let the scriptures speak for themselves. And if I can see something that challenges what I think, then I'm going to speak up and say to my brothers and my other prophets and say, I'm being challenged by this. Am I missing something? You know, and let God, through all of you, go, hey, get a clue. You went off the rails. Or, oh, you know, I hadn't seen that. You know, yeah. Let's pray on that a little bit, or let's let more revelation come to that. You know, you want to put a stake in the ground so you can say, this is what I'm hanging on to, this is where my faith is at. Yet, if you also say that we're having an unfolding revelation, then that stake can be moved by God. So, you got to be firm in your position and flexible that position can move.
Yeah.
Which doesn't work well for the natural man at all. Like, well, what do you mean? The capstone, if you're right. You know, like, you just dragged it over there. So, I hope that... Anyways, that's how I look at that. I was having a conversation with someone who goes to Evangelical Lutheran, and we were talking about the Roman Catholics a little bit, and, you know, I'm treading a little bit softly about, I know he's a very staunch Trinitarian, but from where he comes from, Luther, you can see all the mistakes of the Roman Catholics, you know, and I recall the scripture about, you know, you can see the sliver in your brother, and where the log's in your eye, and you, wow, what are you talking about? So it's because I was explaining to my mother about, you know, when they decided in the Trinity, Charlie's been very good about the Church of Nicaea, I think. Is that right?
Nicaea.
Yeah, Nicaea.
Nicaea.
Yeah, Nicaea. That was 300 years after, roughly 300 or 200 plus years after Jesus was walking amongst them. And I was saying, you know, nobody who was walking with Jesus struggled with the fact that Jesus was a man. I mean, they saw him taking showers or bathing. I mean, they're doing all of the mundane things that people do. I mean, you just don't go, well, how often does God need a shower? You know, you don't. And when you're talking about a memory that's a distant memory, it's a lot easier to kind of change the narrative, you know? So, and I think that's how the enemy, talk about being patient, wait a few hundred years and say, we'll just slip this in there.
Yeah.
And there's no one left to say, well, I saw him. I talked to him. I'm telling you, that dude was not a guy. He was a man. You know, got sunburns, dirt on his feet. I mean, he was the most human God I ever saw. Yeah. And I'm just saying, I think the enemy works like that, you know?
There has to be something, though, like, you know, we say God's in control of everything. Somehow the Holy Spirit slipped away or got ignored, you know? to where they weren't receiving anything anymore. And then they started thinking in their own minds, you know.
That must have happened.
Yeah, and you wonder, well, how did, you know, but you get complacency. I suppose when Jesus was gone, then, you know, then it was taken the word of others that had seen him, and pretty soon maybe it got watered down or something, you know.
Still, you would have thought that they would have gone to the Bible for support for their position.
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't provide that support.
No, it doesn't.
I go back and forth on that a little bit, in the sense that the Bible says things clearly once God wants you to see them clearly. So, you know, I mean, you go, well, Scripture supports it, and I go, well, it does now because of where we're at. I mean, I always laugh at how many things I didn't know when I read the exact same thing about the Spirit.
I suppose there could have been darkness. And I don't know.
Well, I'm not.
I don't know how they pull it out just the same, but.
Well, even in the darkness, it doesn't work for me very well.
Right.
But I guess I'm trying to, not that I give grace, but I give, you know, maybe that's where they've got Adam. And maybe that's part of, I mean, you know, we're supposed to really kind of have to work and seek and do that. And if it was really clear and easy, then people would say, I've got it, and they quit. And I think that's why the Bible's written the way it is, to confuse the wise, you know.
You know, I don't want to make a sense of building us up by anything, but it's interesting, because I'm sure they went through some of this, you know, where you have a big move of God. Well, you had Jesus, for one, and that lasted a long time, I'm sure. His effect, personal effect, of being on earth and everything. And then, you know, it's phase and whatever, and then you just go off and say, well, look at us now, we went up, but because of God's grace, for whatever reason, we stayed true to something that let God keep giving us revelation eventually. I mean, we had a dry period, no doubt. You know, I did. Jeez, for a long time. But even in that, I kept saying, I don't want to give you up, Lord. You know, I don't feel a big thing in the Spirit or whatever, but I don't want to give up on you, you know. And I'd say most of the, however that worked for everybody else, and we just stayed true somehow to something that didn't let us go off and just start making new doctrines and blah, 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 you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just getting slack about the Word of God. I mean, and of course, God was in that for whatever reason, why, you know, but evidently there was the right hearts that he said, yeah, I don't have to let this ember go out. And now I'm going to just keep putting a little breath on it and let it keep burning, you know. And I think it's been burning. It's not a flame yet because he's holding back a little. But because of all that we've been given, boy, I just think that coal's getting red hot and ready to burst into flame,
mm-hmm.
You know. And just, because that, you look at it, and that's the church, just, they lost the zeal or whatever it was, and then they just started listening a little to the pagans and thinking, well, let's say if we want our country to be, you know, all of us together, then we got to give a little for them, and you know what I mean.
That's where I think that happened a lot.
Yeah.
Compromising.
Yeah.
Compromising. Conveniences.
And it's because you lose the Spirit.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
You don't have a Spirit there.
anybody's in jeopardy, you know, no matter who you are.
Yeah.
And they're going political.
And, yeah. And the miracles started dying down because it kept getting watered down. I mean, you know, after Acts and the various things that the apostles are doing, and then you give it some time, and then all of a sudden people...
Yeah, we don't know for sure, I guess, how long that was, you know, because I don't think there's... Well, there may be some history written, but, you know, of how long they, some were zealous and continued on, but it had to be a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think everything just quit when Peter and Paul and all of them passed away. I'm sure some of the church still remained that was vibrant, you know. It doesn't get shown in the scriptures just because...
There was a big debate at that council at Nicaea. You know, they had two sides that, and I think the side that lost would be one we were pretty much in agreement with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, took a vote.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you're the ones that... Well, it wasn't for you, you just go, well, if that's what they want to do, but I'm going to go out here and I'm not giving up on what I have, you know.
Yeah, true.
And you lay dormant for a while, I suppose, and whatever.
What happened?
Or you end up in small groups, you know, and until God goes,
I do think it's interesting throughout church history how there was God maintained an ember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Always. I mean, the remnant. You know, kind of,
yeah, that's...
You want to be a little careful to try and say what Apodosa calls the remnant, because that could be a little bit...
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to go down that prideful thought, but...
I mean, I think it's possible to think that. I don't think that's out of line.
Yeah.
You know?
Not. I mean, I think in reality that's what was the case. You know, you asked... I mean, my testimony was when everything around me started to appear in the natural that it was just crumbling. You know, all I did was I just stood and prayed and asked God to be God. And just reaffirmed that I was going to follow God. And I wasn't going to get distracted by what this man said or that man said.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to follow God.
Yeah.
And I just stood still. I wasn't going to run to try and find a solution. I was, you know, God knows where I am. Told him I was waiting, I will stand here waiting on him. And I think God answered that position by having a little vision voice come to you and say, well, if you're serious, go where I am. You know, so we're standing, and he reminded us to just stand there.
And I think, I'm thinking when you were praying that, the same as what I was, that was way before the voice.
Oh, yeah.
And you just stood and waited on God, you know?
That was like 87, 88.
Yeah.
That was long before the voice.
Right.
Which is typical because, you know, I'll come back in a blink of the eye and go, 2,000 years later, you go, well, your blink is different than my blink, Lord. And, you know, I was kind of chuckling.
It was, you know, well, they were patient. You know, one of the other interesting things was, when Keith had went down south, you know, and the question was coming up, well, what do you think? Do we want to look for another pastor or whatever? And I, my, at the time, feelings were, which I think I did voice, and I just said, I don't think we should. You know? I just think we shouldn't look, we ought to wait on God. And if he wants to provide, fine. And so actually what he did is he just brought Keith back. You know.
Described what? I'm sorry.
He brought Keith back is what he did.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. And
mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, you know, our God's a mighty God, and he was doing a couple things at the same time.
But in that process, that little thought started coming in that, I don't want to listen to just one guy all the time, you know. And then Keith felt the same thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I can remember when I heard him say that, I just said, oh my God. That's the same thing I think some of us have been talking kind of in that perspective. You know, that we didn't want to be totally dependent on one person bringing everything. Had no concept of it really, but you know. That's it. Find me where I am.
Amen to the statement or the comment that God has given us much.
Yeah, for sure. Man. It is time for me to depart.
Well, it's probably a good place to end it, unless you have something else.
No, I have a comment, but.
Well, if it's not for outreach, we'll turn it off right now.
No, we'll put it on there, but the objective, I think, of just about everything that's been happening to us is the fact that the scripture says in 2 Peter 1:4, by these great and exceedingly and precious promises, the Word of God, we become partakers of God's divine nature.
And I think that does happen. That makes, that rings a bell.
Mm-hmm. That's what everything's about. We are slowly becoming partakers of His divine nature. And just like some of the things where we're not sure what it's saying and what it means or whatever else, we will. Yeah. God will straighten it out for us.
Yeah.
But I don't think that He ever intended eternity without us having His divine nature.
Mm-hmm. No.
And there was a man that came into the picture, and he became the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
If he became the Word of God, did he manifest God's divine nature?
I believe he did.
He did.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
You're lucky Kurt's not here right now.
You what? I
said you're lucky Kurt's not here right now. He'd be telling it to you straight. Yes. Yes, he did.
Yeah. But you see what you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So we're discussing different little subjects, but the thing is, we will slowly within our nature become what that word is, what the word is.
Mm-hmm.
I want to become the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when you become the Word of God, your life takes on a different standard.
Yeah.
It's different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're listening to the Word. That's why we've been listening to it for 20 years, or however long. Have we become the Word? I hate to say no, but in a lot of ways we haven't, but in a lot of ways we have.
Right,
yes,
exactly.
We're on that path.
We're on the path.
So we're not a completed Word.
God bless you.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
Hey, love you.
Yeah.
Love you, Ken.
Yeah.
Love you all.